Jackets Hockey is back. Pick the games you want with a partial season plan or enjoy the ultimate in benefits as a season ticket holder. Head to BlueJackets.com now to learn more.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Well, welcome everybody to the Buckeye Extra Podcast. This is Bill Rabinowitz. Usually Joey Kaufman, my beat partner, does the interview, the podcast with the opposing beat writer. But I know Teddy well, and so I thought I would do it this week. So I'm welcomed by Teddy Greenstein, correct? That's how you pronounce it, right, Teddy?
You nailed it, Bill.
From the Chicago Tribune, who covers Northwestern and a lot more for the Tribune. So let me get a little background on you. Are you from Chicago?
I'm from New York. I grew up in Manhattan, in that college football hotbed of 61st and Lexington in Manhattan. My two favorite sports to cover are college football and golf, and really neither one exists where I grew up, but went to Northwestern and at that point really fell in love with college sports, both football and hoops. And I've been at the Tribune for 23 years. Apparently they can't get rid of me, knock on wood.
Yeah, well, that's hope for both of us. When did you go to Northwestern?
I was there in the early 90s, so it was the transition time from when they were completely horrible to getting good. First couple years, there was a coach there named Francis Pay, who was this giant former lineman from the University of Missouri, strong, silent type. He lasted a couple years. At that point, they were like a 3-8 kind of team. They were bad, but not as bad as they had been. And then Gary Barnett came in, and, you know, Gary had this kind of cool personality early on. He goes to a basketball game and promises at halftime we're going to take the purple to Pasadena, which I think half the people cheered and half the people laughed. And lo and behold, you know, they go from a season of, I believe, 3-7-1, and then they go to the Rose Bowl. They upset Notre Dame. And I'll mention this upset because Northwestern was a 27-point underdog that day in South Bend, pretty similar to the spread Friday night against Ohio State. They lose to Miami of Ohio, coached by Randy Walker. And he's kind of has some influence on this game, too, through Kevin Wilson.
Sure.
And then obviously run the table and make it to the Rose Bowls. And ever since then, Northwestern football's been, you know, pretty good. Probably around 500. You know, a couple Big Ten titles. Obviously went to the championship game last year. Certainly some dips along the way. But, you know, for older people like us who know of Northwestern being horrendous and losing 34 games in a row, it's been a respectable program since the mid-90s.
Yeah, I grew up with the horrible Rick Venturi, right? You know, the longest losing streak ever or whatever. And I don't know if you know this, but I went to Northwestern for 1 year, grad program.
I did not.
Yeah, that was the Francis Pay year, the 86.
He took over for Denny Green.
Yeah, they were what I thought they were.
Yeah, there you go.
They were very bad. They were very bad. So, anyway, you know, and Pat Fitzgerald, I know, was the star, or one of the big stars, maybe the biggest star, on that Rose Bowl team. And I remember talking to him, Big Ten Media Days, about, or maybe it was the Big Ten Championship game last year, when he was in the crowd that day. He was a recruit.
Yeah.
He was a recruit, and he heard that, and he basically, his dad kind of laughed, I think, if I remember right. And he bought it. He was like, that's where I want to go.
That's right. I think that is part of the legend. I think he was there that day. That's right. He's a kid, you know, Southside Irish kid who always wanted to play at Notre Dame, took a visit there. Something didn't go well, and he left early. And he was one of the, if not the last kid in his recruiting class. I think it was either Northwestern or Vanderbilt. And finally, Gary Barnett said, all right, take it or leave it. Here's a scholarship offer. If not, we're giving it to somebody else. He said, fine, I'll take it. And did not make an instant impact. But then by the end, you know, multiple, not only All-American, but the National Defensive Player of the Year. But I'm sure a lot of people don't realize that he did not play in the Rose Bowl, as you know, because he broke his leg in the Iowa game and ended up on crutches. So they had to play that Rose Bowl game without him.
Right. So did you cover him? Were you covering them then?
Yeah. I mean, not avidly. Like, I was in, let's see, in one of the falls, I took an internship to the Lexington Herald Leader. That was my junior year. Senior year, I was writing columns about the football team. So, yeah, I mean, I do go back to, as I like to tell people, like, I've been asking Fitz questions since the early 90s. So sometimes people will hear an exchange at a press conference that sounds like frosty or whatever, but it's totally comfortable. I mean, I'm, you know, absolutely at ease. Sometimes saying to him, hey, your quarterback looked totally unprepared, and he's at ease saying, I think you're being ridiculous. So it's just how it's going. I mean, this is almost a 30-year relationship, so it's
right,
pretty good.
Right. What's he like, first of all, and what's he like to cover?
He is a spectacular guy, and he's awesome to cover. You know, it really is. There's so many times, especially this year when they're losing, that people will, like, message me, my friends, and be like, man, has he always been this defensive, and why is he so frosty? You know, he's had a couple interesting ones. In Big Ten Media Days, he kind of went on that long spiel. I won't call it a rant, long spiel about, you know, the culture of America now, how everybody's looking at their phones instead of wanting to experience stuff. And that's why, it's part of why people aren't going to football games. And that was kind of interesting. Then he had a thing at the Wisconsin game where he passed up two extra points, went for conversions twice. Meanwhile, they get the ball back and they're down 24-15 with about 3 minutes to go, when it could have been 24-17. So all the fans are up in arms and he's saying, oh, it's all about analytics, because analytics folks now say you should, you know, go for two early and try to find out what you need later. So he had some interesting, you know, answers about that. And then the other day he had one as well where he said, you know, why aren't you guys writing about how Northwestern actually scored a couple touchdowns on Wisconsin, you know, was the only offense to do anything. And again, people are like, oh man, why is he being so defensive or so nasty? But it's not. I'd so much rather have a coach who sometimes gets a little pissy than a guy like, say, Lovie Smith, who's just boring all the time. So I like to say that, like, Frosty Fitz is one of my favorite Fitz to say, and I have no problem if he's, you know, going back at us a little bit. It makes it much more entertaining.
Yeah, I think people have this misconception that writers feel like it's always great to get along and to get, you know, and that we need to be liked or something. It's like, I'd much rather have, you know, we have John Tortorella in town for the Blue Jackets, and he's notorious for just, you know, and I think the writers who cover him, and I've done some Blue Jackets, they enjoy the give and take. I mean, that's
exactly,
you know, that's what you want. You know, you don't want boring, you want insight. And if you can get insight, sometimes you have to kind of, you know, peel the onion to do it, right?
Exactly. We want to be entertained. We want to be feisty. We want to know that the coach is actually listening to our question and not just, you know, pressing the play button on some canned response. So go ahead. I mean, now look, that doesn't mean that we think it's great when Mark D'Antonio calls it, you know, calls a Hondo's question a dumbass question. I thought that was rude and inappropriate after you get your ass kicked. Right. And score 0 points. But the give and take, the no, I think you're wrong, you're not thinking about this, you know, all that kind of stuff, that's fun. I mean, that makes what we do much more enjoyable and results in better copy.
Right, and so we can continue to do what's enjoyable. We have to pause for a minute for a message from our sponsor.
When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you, but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years. One, such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best, so listen carefully to what they are telling you, and you will know that it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, it may be time to call Rosati Windows for an at-home consultation. Learn more at rosatiwindows.com.
And we are back with Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune, who covers Northwestern. Ohio State obviously plays Northwestern on Friday. And, you know, we were talking about Fitz a little bit. And, you know, Northwestern's a unique place in the Big Ten because it's the only private school. It's smaller. It's the smallest enrollment. I'm not sure what it is right now. What are the advantages and maybe, you know, obviously disadvantages? What are the possible advantages and disadvantages of being Northwestern in the Big Ten?
Yeah, it's a great question, because there are a ton of both. And I think people overlook the advantages. So the disadvantages are, the major disadvantage is that you can probably only recruit 15% of the country. You know, you can only recruit that 15% of the kids that are, you know, successful academically and are going to work hard in college. The advantage is you can only recruit 15% of the people out there. So you know going in, you know, of the top 200 players, you don't even have to look at like 170 of them because, you know, they're not going to thrive at Northwestern. They're not going to get in school. So you are going to be going for the kids who are the same kids that are being, you know, sought after by Stanford, Vandy, Wake Forest, you know, tons of other schools. And it's interesting now, Ohio State is also going after some more high achiever kids, which is throwing Northwestern off a little bit. There's a receiver that they really wanted that Ohio State snatched, but that's kind of, you know, I digress. Northwestern knows what it wants. It wants the three-star guys with a great attitude who are going to get on campus and be good football players in 2 or 3 or 4 years. They don't get elite players. That almost never happens. It's a developmental school. Now, the other advantage Northwestern has is an incredible new indoor-outdoor facility right on the lakefront. They spent $270 million for this all-purpose facility that Pete Samuel of Yahoo says is like the best in the country. So they've got the facilities. You know, they won the Big Ten West last year. They're sending more players to the NFL, but still a tiny, tiny fraction compared to a program like Ohio State. So it's not for everybody. If you like Coach Fitz and want to be around Chicago, you know, Northwestern has become a place where a lot of people want to be.
Right. And, you know, yeah, there's certain, I mean, Chicago's obviously a great draw for a lot of people, great city. And, you know, again, for all those years, they had to fight the perception that this is a hopeless program. And yep. And that's not the case anymore. It's, you know, it's kind of cool to be part of a place where the expectation isn't that you have to win the Big Ten or it's been an unsuccessful season like it is here.
Yeah, that's what Coach Fitz benefits from. You know, honestly, I mean, he had back-to-back 5 and 7 seasons. And whenever people would ask me, hey, is he on the hot seat? I would say, yep, if he goes 0-12 the next 3 years, he's on the hot seat. I mean, he has more job security than probably anybody in the country. I mean, I think it maybe be Nick Saban and Pat Fitzgerald, although if Nick Saban somehow had won 5 and 7 seasons, they'd probably be trying to run him out of town. So
maybe Kirk Ferentz, because of the contract he has.
That's true. Kirk is right. Kirk for life. He's definitely got the golden handcuffs or whatever. But, yeah, it's a deal where, you know, a season like this, I mean, it looks like Northwestern is going to be, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 win season. And it's not like the world is coming to an end. So it's good for those coaches. I mean, they're incredibly frustrated, but it's not like they're going to be, you know, on the unemployment line.
What is the Northwestern?
Except for maybe the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, right, should right. Be. What is the Northwestern fan base like?
Well, it's definitely smaller than probably every other Big Ten school, maybe rivaling Purdue. And it's really just a numbers thing. Like, you know, we'll be at the game Friday night and the crowd will be, I don't know, 60% Buckeyes, maybe more. And, you know, it'll be embarrassing and upsetting for Northwestern people. It'll piss them off because, like, when Ohio State does something good, there will be a roar in the crowd that you would not expect for the visiting team. But, look, as I tell people, nobody goes to Northwestern because of football other than the players. Like, schools like Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan, like, people grow up football fans of those schools, and that's part of why they go there. They want, like, a great athletic experience. Like, nobody picks Northwestern because they want to go to Ryan Field for 4 years. It's a smaller school. It's a school that is, you know, generates students from around the country and around the world. So, you know, they come, they maybe go to a couple football games, but it just doesn't mean that much to them. And then after they graduate, they're more likely to leave Chicago and take a job in D.C. or L.A. or New York or Florida than any other place. I mean, the percentage of Buckeye grads who stay within 100 miles compared to, the percentage of Northwestern grads who stay within 100 miles of the school has to be radically different. And, yeah, Northwestern is graduating maybe 2,000 kids a year, and Ohio State is graduating how many?
15,000 probably a year.
Yeah. So every year you're talking about more than 7 times as many people. So that's why at this game there'll be, you know, the house seats 47,000 and there'll be probably, I don't know, 20,000 Northwestern fans there.
And they've done, as they've done in the past, everything they can to limit that, right? You have to this game is tied to the season ticket package.
That's right. But think about this year. Think about if you're a Northwestern season ticket holder and, you know, you've been asked to watch this really garbage offense that has produced 2 touchdowns. this is going to be the game. Plus, maybe it's a Friday night game, and plus maybe that's inconvenient for you. Maybe you're working, you know, on a Friday, and you like to tailgate before games, and that's going to be impossible if you get out at 5 o'clock, basically. So I'm sure this is going to be a game where tons of season ticket holders are, you know, are going to be putting their tickets on the secondary market. And if you're an Ohio State fan who lives within, you know, 2 hours of Chicago, this is your time to see your dudes play live. And how could you possibly pass up the opportunity to see guys like Chase Young and Justin Fields play live? So I'm sure it's going to be, you know, maybe we would have started the year guessing 50-50, but now I'm sure the crowd's going to be way more Ohio State.
Okay. Last year, Northwestern got off to a similarly bad start, and they turned it around and made it the Big Ten Championship game. Compare where the current team's prospects are to that team.
Yeah, I think so. Really just the big difference is quarterback. Last year, you know, Clayton Thorson, fourth-year guy, and Clayton didn't have great numbers last year, but he ended up having some really solid games. You know, Northwestern's quarterback play this year is the worst in America. They have the lowest-rated passing attack. And in terms of the running game, you know, last year they had a kid named Jeremy Larkin who was a great player, and he had to medically retire. So their rushing attack was awful early on. It got stronger at the end, thanks in part to an Ohio kid named Isaiah Bowser. Well, Bowser has a knee injury, so the main tailback is a kid named Drake Anderson, who's really quick, but he, you know, weighs about 155 pounds, and, you know, when they have him in pass protection, it's really a losing proposition. So they've been banged up. They've had three running backs hurt. So combination of, you know, just an average offensive line, injuries with the running backs. T.J. Green was probably going to be their best quarterback. He was lost for the season in the first game at Stanford. The combination of all that yields a terrible offense, an offense that is really almost as bad as Rutgers.
Okay, Hunter Johnson comes in. He, like Justin Fields, a five-star guy, went to Clemson, transfers to Northwestern. What happened to him?
Well, I mean, I think he came out of the Stanford game and looked totally unprepared. I mean, that was my first question to Fitz. Why did Hunter look totally unprepared? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, T.J. Green had beaten him out, and T.J. Green started the second half of that game. So, you know, they say for Hunter, well, last year he was on the scout team. So this is kind of his first real year, you know, running the Northwestern offense. I don't know. Some people will say it's complicated. Some people will say it shouldn't be that hard for him to learn the offense after being in Evanston for a season. He's obviously a big, strong, talented kid, good arm, pretty good athlete. He's got the attributes. You know, he just hasn't really shown yet that he has all the, you know, kind of the little skills to be a really successful quarterback. Like, is he making the right decisions? Is he finding the right receivers? Does he have a little feel for pressure, when to get rid of the ball, when to scramble a little bit? Like, I haven't seen those real instincts from him. It is early. And Clayton Thorson, when he was in his first year at Northwestern, you look at his stats, he was pretty bad. He was throwing for 128 passing yards, then 152 and a bunch of interceptions. So it's not like Hunter, you know, can't be good beyond, maybe next year or beyond, but it really hasn't happened this year yet. He also injured his knee against Wisconsin, so they have another quarterback named Aiden Smith. And these two guys, you can't believe how similar their stats are.
I looked up, one touchdown, four interceptions for both of them, almost identical completion percentages. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It is crazy. They're like within a point on almost every single stat, so they really are similar. Aiden Smith is a bit more mobile, you know, runs quite well, although Hunter can run too. Hunter certainly has, you know, more of the deep ball potential. But look, Northwestern almost never has receivers who get that wide open. They're very tight. They're like NFL windows that Northwestern quarterbacks are throwing into, unlike when you watch teams like, you know, Ohio State or, you know, the teams with great athletes where the receivers have nobody within 5 yards of them. That's not going to be the case Friday night.
Right. I mean, the thing with Hunter Johnson that's got to drive Northwestern fans crazy when they compare him to Justin Fields, Hunter Johnson's been in the system. I mean, Justin Fields just got here in January. Now, obviously, he's got much better talent around him. That's the thing.
He's a better player. He's just got such mad talent around him. But is it the coaching? I mean, you know, Northwestern's had the same offensive coordinator for 11 years, Mick McCall, and the performances, the stats, really since 2013 are quite abysmal. We're talking about offenses that, in terms of yards and points, are consistently, you know, in the 90s and 100s ranking in the FBS. Just not good enough.
Considering how bad the offense has been, I'm sure there have been a ton of three and outs. The defense has held up pretty well, right?
Oh, the defense is really good, and then that's, of course, the shame of it. I mean, this is like a top 12 national defense that, you know, like in the Wisconsin game, for example, I mean, they gave up a pretty long first drive and then really really limited Jonathan Taylor the rest of the way. So the defense has been super solid. You'll hear the name Patty Fisher, the linebacker,
right?
Number 42. He's an outstanding player. Joe Gaziano, 97 on the defensive line. He's good for a sack a game. Solid defense, no offense, and that's been the problem.
Okay. You covered a 2013 game, right?
Yes.
What I remember most about it was the grass, and it seemed like it was like they hadn't seen the mower in a while. Do you expect the same Friday night?
Yeah, it should. I mean, Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic just posted a story about that. Yeah, that's one of those urban legends that's true. The grass was really high, and right. I mean, my line to her was, you know, if you've got 1-4-4, 40-guy on your team, and you're going up against six or however many Ohio State has, you got to do everything you can to neutralize it. So if it's not knee-high Friday, we got a problem.
Yeah, you're not going to be hitting woods out of that. Bring your irons. What kind of chance does Northwestern really have in this game?
I mean, I'd say really next to none. Now, you know, I do a handicapping column every week. I pick every Big Ten game against the spread, and Northwestern is like the best underdog you could ever possibly find. I mean, really just ridiculous. And I was looking at it like in its last 30 games, Northwestern, I think, is 29-1 against the spread. It's really remarkable. That said, I don't think I can, even with 28.5 points, I don't think I'm going to do it. I just can't conceive of a final score really where they cover. Like, I think best case scenario is something like 37-10.
Yeah.
But I think a more realistic scenario is 44-7.
Yeah.
You know, Ohio State is healthy, is rested, is fired up. You know, Northwestern certainly goes into this game with some confidence because when you look at the last three matchups, you know, between these teams, it was a 7-point game in the fourth quarter of the Big Ten title game in Indianapolis. There was a game in Columbus where the final score was 24-20.
Right.
And then, of course, the 2013 game, none of these players played in it, but, you know, that was certainly a tight game that Northwestern led in the second half. So, you know, based on those matchups, you'd say, okay, you know, this is going to be reasonable, but I just don't see how it's going to be reasonable or how it's going to be a game after halftime.
Okay. Let me pause one more time for a word from our sponsor, and we'll be back to wrap it up.
Hey, football fans. Leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score because we've got the food covered. With hand-battered, cooked-to-order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce in jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
Okay, we're back. And, yeah, I remember the 2013 game. It was a really close game. I remember Northwestern led, and then they got the Bosa backdoor cover, right? You picked up the fumble.
Nasty, exactly. The grossest ever. As Brett Musburger said, some people are saying, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Brent was not real shy or not real subtle about his other interest, put it that way.
Thank God. Exactly. Now it's... We can all just come out and say it rather than talk around it.
That's true. What are your observations about Ohio State, just as an outsider just watching a college football beat writer?
Yeah, I mean, I've been writing for a couple of weeks. I mean, it's the number one team in the country. I mean, not schedule-wise, because it's not like they've been, you know, playing a bunch of beasts. But, I mean, even look at the Cincinnati game. I mean, Cincinnati's obviously a very good team that has performed extremely well when it's played, you know, every team other than Ohio State, and Ohio State just obliterated them. So it's amazing to think about two things. One, I mean, Dwayne Haskins in the Big Ten title game last year, I wrote this today. We thought he was the second coming. I mean, he played basically a flawless game.
Yeah.
And yet Fields might be even more dangerous, obviously, because he can run the ball. And when he runs the ball, it's, you know, 11 on 11 as opposed to 10 on 11. So that's amazing that they could actually be better at quarterback than Dwayne Haskins. And then the defense is, you know, the turnaround is just unbelievable. I mean, at this point last year, I mean, where was Ohio State defensively? Was it, what, 60th or 70th in the country?
It was middle of the pack, but it was more than the numbers. It was just, there were so many missed assignments and gaping holes that you, I said this on our radio interview yesterday, that sometimes it looked like they were playing with seven guys. And this year, it looks like they're playing with 13.
Yeah. I mean, I remember last year there was that stretch of games where I said, I mean, this doesn't even resemble a playoff team. I mean, that Maryland game, you know, I mean, that was the ultimate where you said, oh my God, this looks like about the number 12 team in the country, if that. And then obviously caught fire late and played some great games and you know, blew up Michigan and all that. But the fact that the defense can be that better, thanks to coaching and thanks to some improvement of the players, is remarkable. This is right now a flawless team, and it is playing like the number one team in the country.
And, you know, based on what we've talked about, you don't think Northwestern is the kind of team to exploit that. But next week, Ohio State's got Wisconsin. You obviously covered the Wisconsin-Northwestern game. What are your thoughts about next week's game, Ohio State-Wisconsin?
Yeah, I'll be there in the shoe for that nice early noon start. I'm incredibly excited about that game. I've been thinking about it, you know, for several weeks. I've been thinking about it from the moment I booked my flight, which was about 3 weeks ago, when I decided to pivot away from the Iowa-Northwestern game, even though it's my 25th year reunion.
So oh, wow.
All my friends, sorry guys, I gotta go to Columbus, I gotta cover a better game. Yeah, I think it's gonna be a spectacular battle. You know, Wisconsin is as complete team, you know, as there is. I mean, basically, along with Ohio State, you're talking about four shutouts. You're talking about a dominant running game. Now, Jack Cohen really looked bad against Northwestern. So I can promise you this. Ohio State is going to be studying that Northwestern film because Cohen looked bad against the Cats. And as I mentioned, Jonathan Taylor did very, very little after the first series. So they have the blueprint there from Northwestern. But, you know, Wisconsin is just a team with it never really plays that poorly. Obviously, last year it had some flaws, really because of a bunch of injuries. But congrats to the Badgers, because for idiots like me who thought Nebraska was going to be the best team in the Big Ten West, they have shown from the first play of the first game that is the dominant team in the West.
Yeah, I remember during our preseason stuff, I can't remember who I picked to go to the Big Ten championship game from the West. It might have been Nebraska, but I remember saying people are kind of overlooking Wisconsin because they had a disappointing year, but Wisconsin's Wisconsin. And I didn't think they'd be this good, don't get me wrong, but because, you know, Jack Cohn is a pretty good quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean, he really wasn't that good last year, but absolutely. I mean, he's performed well at, I'd say, every game other than Northwestern. I'm just looking at the Northwestern numbers. He was 15 of 24 for just 113 yards, zero touchdowns, one pick. And Jonathan Taylor ended up with 119 yards, rushing yards against Northwestern, but had to run it 26 times to get there. And obviously that's held, you know, that's way below his norms. So that's been the one game that, you know, that they did not dominate. And it'll be absolutely fascinating to see what they can do at the shoe a week from now.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin's been hurting their matchups against Ohio State in recent years because they haven't had kind of the game-breaking receiver. Well, Cephas is capable, right?
Oh, yeah. Quintez Cephas is really good. That was the other thing, that when we were all making our picks, we didn't know that he was going to be back. He is a true number one, definitely one of the Blazers of the Big Ten.
Right. So, all right. Well, Teddy, is there anything else that you would want to add about the Northwestern Ohio State game?
No. If any folks are listening, go to Mustard's Last Stand before the game for a double cheeseburger. It's this little burger place right near Ryan Field. You'll enjoy that. I think we're supposed to get decent weather Friday, so have a great time at Ryan Field. And yeah, hopefully it's still a contest in the third quarter, but I would certainly not bet on that.
All right, well, Teddy, it's been great having you on. I've been a fan of your work for a long time. Check his work out at the Chicago Tribune at Tribune.com. Great stuff. And again, appreciate it, Teddy. Thank you.
Enjoy it, Bill. See you soon, buddy.
All right.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated, hand-battered chicken fingers.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.